If you have your Bibles tonight, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. We've been preaching for some time about answered prayers, and then we spent a few weeks on that, and we got stuck on when God says yes, and we preached 7 messages on when God says yes. And then last week, we preached on when God says wait, or when God puts a delay. And I thought about that tonight we would look at another one of those waits or delays, or maybe one of the other answers God might give, but the Lord just put this into my heart, and it is, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Now, if you observe where we live today, it's amazing how our eyes, I need an amen right here, are on politics, foreign policies and going on. They're on climate change. They're on the virus and disease. They're on the economy. They're on terrorism, entertainment, and athletics. Our eyes are not on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Israel was in bondage, they were 400 years in bondage, and they cried out to the Lord. Why did it take so long? America tonight has affliction, oppression, and bondage. Why is it taking us so long to cry out? In Isaiah's day, King Uzziah just died. It's a time of political change. King Uzziah was someone that Isaiah loved very dearly. And even the man of God was caught up in the political change, what it would do to the economy, and how it would affect foreign policies. And his eyes are on things on the ground. And he goes into the house of God. I believe he went in to pray. Read with me in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Okay, we know that Isaiah is going to make one of those simple prayers, but it's substantial. Simon Peter prayed, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down his hand and pulled him up out of the waters. We know that Moses said, show me thy glory. And we know that the Lord hit him in the rock. Amen. It allowed him to see his hinder parts as he passed by. Here's Isaiah, and he sees trouble on each and every hand, and he's worried absolutely to death. Number one, there's the vision that captured Isaiah's attention. Uzziah is the 10th king of the southern kingdom, Judah. He was made king when he was 16 years of age. He's king for 52 years. And under his reign, leadership, and under his kingdom, Judah prospered and prospered greatly. But you can read that his heart got lifted up in pride. And he tried to step into the high priest's office, which was forbidden to him to do. And God put him with leprosy. King Uzziah died, and it left a great impression on Isaiah. Uzziah had been a national hero. And it seemed to Isaiah that there is an end to the prosperity and the consistency that they have faced. They are now in a national crisis. Can I get a witness? They're in a national crisis of epic proportions. And he senses a time of uncertainty, and he senses a time of doubt, and here he is praying. And when he's praying, he has a vision. And this vision, part A, he saw Adonai, which is the Lord, on the throne. Look at it. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. The Lord was enthroned. The earthly king has died, but the heavenly king is alive and well. Things on earth are in question, but things in heaven are running right on time. May I just stop to say tonight, the Lord still reigns. No matter what you're facing, no matter what your uncertainty is, no matter what your doubt is, the Lord is still on the throne. Regardless of what goes on down here, He is still enthroned in His holy temple. And you and I would do well to remember who is in control. It is not the president. It is not NATO. Of course, it's not the Supreme Court. It is the Lord God Almighty that is in control. He is alive forevermore. When Isaiah saw Him, he saw Him exalted. He was high and lifted up. Now let's think about Uzziah for a minute. Uzziah, that great king that Isaiah loved so much, what was his sin? Pride. What happened to him? Leprosy. You might say that Uzziah had a great fall. But honey, Adonai, the Lord God Almighty, will never fall. Amen. He is exalted. He is high and lifted up. There is no reproach in His reign. He is without sin tonight. You may have somebody tonight that you loved and you put them on a pedestal and you just admired them and they fail and man, it just crushed you and you're all to pieces. Or it may be that things didn't work out the way you had planned and now you're gossiping and you're running the rumor mill and you're tearing to people's hearts. Honey, hear me. You need to look and see who's on the throne. Quit looking at man and quit looking at the things of the world and start looking to the Lord. Amen? Now, the king is sitting on his throne, and my Bible says that his train filled the temple. That is, he is encompassed. It's the glory of God. Uzziah, when he got leprosy, listen, he had to go and live in a separate house. He couldn't live in the palace anymore. He had to leave what he knew as his home for over 50 years, and he had to live in a separate house, and the king had to go around saying, unclean, unclean. According to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 13, he had to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. But hear me, our Savior, our King has never sinned, will not sin, and He is the one who's going to do something about the sin. Thank God for it. Now, as the newspaper headlines and as Fox News and CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS and PBS and I don't know if I left your MSNBC or whatever it is you watch, but as they declare the world is out of control, there's devastating wars and deadly diseases and destructive crime, let me just get an announcement right here, see if I can get one amen. God's in charge. All of these things are happening and He's still on the throne. Amen. Thank God for it. Now, not only does Isaiah have this vision to see Adonai on the throne, but look at verse 2. He sees some attendants in the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Seraphims are angelic beings. They are angelic creatures. Look what they're doing. They are, each one has six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So, seraphims, it means the burning ones. Six wings. The two wings cover his face. Now, he's flying around the throne where the Lord God Almighty is sitting. And now watch. He's covered with two of his wings. He's covered his face. He's bowed his head in reverence to who's on the throne. We're talking about a seraphim. Has bowed his head to who is in control, right? His eyes can't even behold the Lord God Almighty, and he's got two wings covering his face, amen, with his head bowed. His other two wings are covering not just his face, but his feet. In other words, if his feet are covered, it looks like he's in a bowed position, okay? Lord of God, hear me now, with the other two wings, he's continuing his flight, and he's proclaiming all around the throne, holy, holy, holy. Three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. Look, they are not Isaiah sees them. And they're not saying, hey, Isaiah, come on up. They're saying, Isaiah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. In other words, you better not try to just access God any old way. He's a holy God. Look at their adoration. Holy, holy, holy. Look at verse 4. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. There's a shaking going on inside the temple. And read on. The house was filled with smoke. That's the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God is all about that place. Now there have been times when we've had church services and the glory of God just tipped over and it got foggy in here, if I could say that, and you was afraid to say anything. There's been times where it got so thick when I was preaching, I just had to sit down and just go to weeping and worshiping when the Lord got so real in here. There's been time when the singers were singing and they just completely had to stop when the glory of God got on. That's the vision that Isaiah had. He's got his eyes off the world and got his eyes into another world. You and I would do well to do the same thing, to get our eyes off our troubles, off our conflicts, off our problems, and get our eyes into a heavenly home, amen, where everything is well and running right according to its course right now, amen. Number two, there's the verdict that changes Isaiah's attitude. Look in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. When anyone comes into the presence of God, they immediately become aware of their own sinfulness. Isaiah, this is chapter what, 6? He's already written 5 chapters. He's the man of God. He's the prophet of Almighty God. God's been showing him a vision. But when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, when he sees him being exalted, when he sees his train fill the temple and the house is shaken and the house is filled with smoke, he says, woe is me. Now think for a second. You want to look at chapter 5? Look with me. Look at chapter 5 at verse number 8. Chapter 5, verse number 8. He says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. That is a woe of wanting wealth. Look in verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. That's a woe to those who are wanting wine. Look in verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. That's a woe of those that are wanting wickedness. Look at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And listen, that's a woe to worldly perspectives. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's woe unto those that have worldly pride. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. That's a woe to this worldly partying crowd. Listen, that's 6 woes in chapter 5. 6 woes, the number of men. And look, I have an announcement. Look at what Isaiah did when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in the year that King Uzziah died. He said, woe is me. He's linked himself, Preacher Darren, he's the man of God. He's linked himself with those that are sinners. Oh my. You know what? You need to become aware of your sinfulness. You didn't come in here ready to fly off to glory. Some of you got in the parking lot. You yelled and screamed and fussed all the way here. You're just trying to get a protractor out to get your hair to curl at 38 degrees, and you're just running out of time, and you and her and the kids have had words, and you've rushed to get here, and then your hair's laid back, and here you are tonight, and the Lord is saying, you got in the parking lot and said, I'm a Bethelite. It's good to see you. God bless you. Everybody ought to know that I'm here.
Hey, nobody cares, amen, because we're all a bunch of sinners. You may strut like a peacock and put your feathers out like so, but we're sinners, saved by grace, but still sinners. Woe is me, for I am undone. You know what the word undone means? It means silenced. It means dumb. It simply means that there's nothing that you can say. You are speechless in the presence of God. He could offer no word of protest. He had no word of pride. The word that ought to be spoken is a word of praise. But when he saw God high and lifted up, he couldn't even speak praises. It was beyond what he was able to do. He was completely silenced. He's rendered silent. He realizes his sinfulness. He's reminded of his surroundings. Look, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Time out. Unclean, unclean, unclean. That reminds me of a leper by the name of Uzziah, the king that Isaiah had admired, who got lifted up in pride, and God smote him with leprosy. And now he lives in a separate house, and he says, unclean, unclean, to anybody that tries to enter around his area. And now Isaiah says, what Uzziah was physically, I am spiritually. That's not popular preaching, is it? It's where Isaiah was. Woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, everywhere around me, sin abounds. Sin influences me. Sin affects me. Sin draws me in. It captures my eyes. It captures my ears. It captures my mind. It captures my attention. That's what he's saying. Look what he says. For mine eyes have seen the king. Now hear me. Uzziah was just the 10th king of Judah. He was a king. But he's saying, I've seen the King of Kings. I have seen him, the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord of Hosts. Woo-wee. He's making a prayerful confession. What's he doing when all this is going on? He went to the temple to pray. He's having a prayerful confession. When was the last time you sat down to God instead of roping off everything you thought you wanted and declaring that, and you just said, God, I'm a wicked sinner. And Lord, I'm unworthy and I'm undeserving to even speak to you, much less be in your presence. Would you forgive me? There he is. The Bible says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. That altar, that altar that burns before the temple of the Lord God Almighty. The seraphim took one of those live coals. He took off that fire, verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth. You know what fire does? It cleanses. It purges, amen. Boy, it'd be good if we'd get our lips purged. We ought not to said what we said. We need our lips, amen, purged. We need our minds purged. We need our eyes purged. We might see the Lord God, amen. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Hey, this is the verdict that's changed Isaiah's attitude. Isaiah was a man of God, and he was a little bit high and mighty from his perspective. And when he saw the Lord, he's been rendered low. And he's undone, and he's unclean. And the Lord now has given him this coal off the altar to forgive him and purge him, and it's preparing him for service. Isaiah, man of God, hey, Christian, you're to be a clean vessel as you and I serve the Lord. Over here at the school, I serve as principal. There's been times where I may knock on a door and say, Miss so-and-so, can you send such-and-such to my office, please? Oh, they hate to hear those words. Some of you parents, how does that affect your memory when they came in there and the announcement was made that you need to be summoned to the principal's office and you is going to be given a good talking to for something that maybe you'd been a part of a little earlier in the day. I say tonight, we are summoned to the throne room of a Most High God. He's with us tonight. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thirdly, and I'm done, there is the voice that called for Isaiah's allegiance. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord. You know when he heard the voice of the Lord? He heard the voice of the Lord when his sins are purged. He's hearing the Lord begin to deal with him, and he lays out a task. The voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? It's an opportunity for service. After the confessing and after the cleansing, the call of the Lord is heard. Whom shall I send? Now God's hands upon Isaiah. And God has called him into divine ministry as a master would call his servant. He is calling for Isaiah and he says, whom shall I send? This is what this means. Who will go witness for me? Who will leave this place tonight and go home or on your way home be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no doubt when you came in here tonight, you're tired, you're weary, your mind's been on floods, your mind's been on foreign policies, you've watched the news, or at least you've heard about it, your stomach is growling, your mind is maybe distracted, and it's on other things, you've got worries, how's the bills gonna be paid, what's gonna happen to us financially, what's gonna happen to us physically, there's physical ailments all around, what on earth are we gonna do? And God says, get your eyes off those things. Get your eyes on me. And when you do, you realize how sinful and how distracted you've really been. Lord, I'm unworthy and undeserving. And he puts that coal upon your mouth and says, I've purged your sin. Now that you've been cleansed, now that you've been purged, now that you got your mind right, will you go witness for me? Tonight, tomorrow, will you go witness for me? I'm not talking about going politicking for Biden. I'm not talking about going politicking for vaccines. Amen. I'm not talking about politicking for COVID. I'm talking about going for the Lord. Okay? Who shall I send? And who will go for us? What does that mean? Now, who will go for us? That means who's going to walk circumspectly and go for me? Who's going to go forward? Who is it tonight? This is a choice. This is a choice. God's giving you a choice. Who will go? Will you go? Isaiah, I'm talking to you. Will you witness? Will you walk with me tonight? Tomorrow, look at his answer. Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, those words, here am I, have been recorded many times. You remember in Genesis when Abraham has his son laid out on the altar and he's got the knife drawn back and the Lord says, The Lord says, Abraham, his name's twice. And he stopped him. And Abraham said, here am I. You're looking at me funny. I pulled the book on you. There's a time when he said, Jacob. And he said, here am I. Moses, Exodus chapter 3 about the burning bush. Moses! Moses! And he got Moses' attention. Absolutely, he did. What about Samuel? Is he speaking to Samuel? Samuel! Samuel! All four of those times, you see the name. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. Moses, Moses. Samuel, Samuel. Recorded double times. This is the fifth time that we see the phrase, here am I in the Word of God. And Isaiah's name is not called twice. In fact, Isaiah's name is not mentioned at all. This occurs another time in the New Testament, and it occurs about Ananias going to lay hands on Paul. And he spoke to him one time, Ananias, and Ananias said, here am I. And he told him to go lay hands on Paul. Preacher Darren, why is he not called here? Why is it not specific to him? Because this call also comes to you. And it comes to me. Who will witness? Who will walk before me tonight? You know what he's looking for? Who's available? He's, preacher, I just don't have the ability. He's not asking you about your ability. He's asking about your availability. Where I used to pastor, God called a bunch of young preachers, a bunch of them. And some of them boys came and said, Pastor Darren, when you get called to the hospital, and when you get called to go do this, I'd like for you to call me. I want to go with you. I want to be what you said available. I want to go with you when you get called out like that. Well, usually when you get called out, it's not the most, perfect time for you to go do so. I got called on a Friday evening about 7:30. Had to leave my meal. And I called one of them young preachers. I said, listen, you need to get down to such and such hospital. We're going to go. Oh, now's not a good time. I said, why not? Me and my wife's grocery shopping. Well, I said, I'll pick you up. Oh, now's not a good time. We've got plans. We're going to cook dinner when we get home, and we've had a long week. Now's not a good time. I worked a full-time job too. Amen. And pastored the church. Fast forward to another time. Same stuff. Middle of the night. Oh, now's not a good time. I got to get up in the morning. Got to go to work. Now's not a good time. Honey, the Lord didn't ask when it was convenient for you. He's not asking about Isaiah's convenience. He said, who will I send? Who will go for us? Who is available? Are you listening to me? Are you available? Oh, preacher, I'm already serving God. My cup's full. There's no way I could possibly do another thing. We're already singing, and we're preaching, and we're witnessing, and we're working. I can't do another thing. I'm booked. Just say I'm already where Isaiah was. I've already told you that Isaiah is a great man of God, the prophet who's already written five chapters. And God says, are you willing to go? Can I send you? Will you be effective? Are you available? Isaiah was available. Here am I, send me. He said, verse 9, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Watch this verse. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. This is what he's saying. Isaiah, go to this people. They've got dull hearts. I would dare say the heart of most of our churches, and it may be you tonight, is dull. Your ears heavy. Your eyes. I've preached to this crowd. Shut. Amen. I've preached to this crowd and they won't listen. Isaiah, you go tell them, but they're not going to listen. Now, Isaiah, you're not responsible for results. You're responsible to be faithful. Did you know verses 9 and 10 are quoted 6 times in the New Testament? That's how important they are. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, the book of Mark chapter 4, verse number 12, the book of Luke chapter number 8, verse number 10, the book of John, go there. John chapter 12. I caught you napping. Go to John chapter 12. I want to read it to you tonight. The book of John chapter 12. Let's start with verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Look at verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You see what Isaiah saw? Isaiah had a vision and he saw the glory of God. And the Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He said, you're going to a people that will resist truth. Will you hear me? The more people, the more times people resist truth, the less able they are to receive truth. You see, the word of God, the message of God, it softens hearts or it hardens hearts. The same sunshine that hardens clay melts wax. The word of God is very similar. Verse 11, I got to keep going. Then said I, Lord, how long? Lord, how long will I have this ministry? Lord, how long do you want me to go preach to people and witness to people that will not hear you, that do not care? How long do you want me to keep preaching to them? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Will you hear me for a second? Look at me. I'm right here upon the platform. There is a great forsaking in the land tonight. There is a great falling away that's happening in our nation tonight. There's a great falling away that is happening in this church. There is a great falling away that is happening in your life tonight. Not me, I'm just as close as I ever was. In fact, I'm closer. Is that a true statement? Or is there a falling away? Have you become a little more worldly and a little more accepting and a little more tolerant than you used to be? I'm telling you, you better be careful. Look at verse 13. But yet in it shall be a tenth. A tenth. A tenth. When the children of Israel were given the promised land, the entire promised land, they claimed 10%. 10%. God said, there'll be a tenth. 10%. Wow. And it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. One of my friends, he's kind of got a track ministry in that everywhere he goes, he's giving out tracks. Man, he's going out like crazy. And he went to the J&S cafeteria. And you may sit tonight and say, hey, it's not going to make a difference. What I'm doing, your preaching, not going to make a difference. He went to J&S cafeteria. And at J&S cafeteria, he got, let's just talk about it. He got country style steak with gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, creamy corn. Said, do you want one of them big old yeast rolls? Oh, yes, ma'am. Sweet tea to drink. I mean, he had a smorgasbord. He paid. And the little girl in the J&S cafeteria, some of you young folks don't know much about it, but us old folks, we know all about J&S cafeteria. And the little waitress got his tray and started walking with him and said, where do you want to eat? And I'll set the things off your tray. And he said, I want to eat right back over here next to that wall, kind of all by himself. And so she set the tray down and she set the tea off and the country style steak and everything. And he's talking to her and he pulls out a track. He says, honey, I want to give you a gospel track.
She looked at it when she received it, and she fell hard on both of her knees, and she started to cry. And she said, "Sir," touched me, "Sir, my little 9-year-old boy, I just buried him in a terrible accident. He went to a Bible school and he got saved, and he talked to me about getting saved, but I don't understand it. And he begged me to go to church, but I don't understand it. And we buried him, and I started asking questions of my family, but none of them go to church. None of them know what to do. And I thought I'd go get a Bible. When I got to the bookstore, I was so confused because there were like 10 or 12 different versions. And I didn't know what to do. Which one is right? I didn't know what to do, so I didn't get anything. And you've given me a tract that said, the plan of salvation. Sir, can you tell me what is the plan of salvation?" And right there in the J&S cafeteria, he got on his knees beside her and told her about a God who sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross, how he was buried and raised again on the first day of the week, and how her little boy was there in heaven with Jesus, and she could go see him if she would admit she's a sinner and call on Jesus as Savior. And in the J&S cafeteria, she got gloriously born again. You see why it's important that you get your mind off of this world's chatter and clatter, and you get your mind on the things of God, and you're willing to testify, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Amen. Well, Preacher Darren, I think this is a call to the ministry, and I'm not looking to be a preacher. I'm a young lady. Hear me tonight. He's not asking for your call to the ministry. He's asking, who will go and be a witness? Who will go and walk before me and share the gospel with their loved ones, with their friends, with their acquaintances, with people they do not know? Are you willing? Isaiah's in the house of God and he's praying, "Oh God, what are we going to do?" And out of nowhere, God said, "Go witness." Hallelujah. You'll stand to your feet tonight. There may be somebody here. Maybe you have sense of need. You need to slip to the altar and say, "Oh God, I want to be faithful to do what you call me to do. You're dealing with my heart. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't even know when to say it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't really even know how to get in that position. But if you'll just trust God to give you the words, if you'll get your mind and your heart on the things of God rather than the things of this world, he wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use you that are online and you of this church. He's calling our church. Who will be a witness and walk before me?" Father, I thank you for the word of God and for the call upon Isaiah's life. He was already a prophet. He was already a man of God. But Lord, you are calling him to go further. And God, he was calling, being called to go to a people that would not even hear or receive it. God, there are times that our words, as they're spoken, they fall on deaf ears and they fall on dull hearts. But God, there are those that receive the word. God, they grasp it. They gravitate towards it. Lord, it's generating, germinating in their heart. And God, I pray that it would bear fruit and yield seed for the glory of God. Father, would you help us then as we pray tonight? God, our nation's in bad shape politically and in foreign affairs. God, on all fronts, we need your help. But God, above and beyond all that, there's a Most High God on the throne that's calling us to be faithful in the middle of these dismal circumstances. And though they may or may not change, help us, God, to be true to our call. God, my job tonight
is not to quit. My job tonight is not to give in. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, to be faithful to your call. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen and amen.